Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought I would just, I alluded to sharing when we were talking about suffering and different things, how people can comfort other people. I alluded to something that just happened, that I'd gotten email. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, and it's a story kind of about Chad in a sense. God, in his great wisdom and mercy, when I was in Chad, some of you know that I had to leave Chad. That we had to leave Chad because of me, because I couldn't get medical clearance to go back. And I'm only saying this because something came up where I could comfort someone else that has the same thing. I found out in France, because I didn't know why I had this, and I'll explain. I have a rare neurological disorder in my head, and I was born, I didn't know this, I found this out in France, I was born with an artery that was malformed at birth. And when you get older, it gets twisted and it kind of deforms, and the older you get, and in your head, the artery should never touch a nerve. It's almost like when it touches a nerve, it shorts out the socket. And so when we were in the village in Chad, I started getting like electric shock pains in my face. Whenever I ate, when I drank, when I brushed my teeth, when I touched my face, when the wind touched it. And I was just kind of like, what is going on? And Rob didn't know. So they had to get me to Jemena, the capital. And Chad is not known for medical things. If you do get sick, you don't want to go to the hospital there because you'll come out with something else. It's just not a good. But the Lord put me in touch with a French doctor that worked for Air France. And he was over all the medical evacuations and everything. And so we went to see him because it's very rare. And a lot of people, a lot of doctors never see it. And so I told him the symptoms. And he goes, well, I think this is it, what you have. But he goes, I've never seen this before. But there's a test that I can do. So he did. I forget what it was, but he goes, I think you do have it. So he put me on medication, and it's the same medication for epilepsy. So it kind of makes you a bit woozy. But also you have to be careful, because if you get too high a dosages, it'll ruin your liver. So to control the pain, he kept having to up it. And finally he says, I can't keep you here anymore. You have to go to the States. So I went to the States and told my parents, went to the States. Rob stayed behind in Chad because it was too hard to manage everything to get out in time. And so he goes, I don't think you have it. You're not old enough. Because usually they see it when it's people are older because it's had longer time to deform. Well, I was in my 40s, I think. And so he goes, but I'll take a MRI. Is that right? Yeah. We say ERM in French, so I always get confused. So MRI, and I'll see, because they can see if the artery is touching the nerve. So he goes, I don't think you have it. So he called me back, and he goes, yeah, you do have it. And so I'm like, okay. And he goes, well, we'll put you on more medication, and if it gets too high, we'll have to go from there. It got too high. So he goes, well, we're going to have to go in. And I'm like, go in my head? I mean, are we talking brain surgery? Yeah. So he went in the first time. He went in, and I'm only sharing this because it's amazing what they do. But they put Teflon sponges in between the artery and the nerve, so every time my heart beat, it wouldn't. You know, you have the myelin sheath that protects the nerve. I didn't have any because it kept pounding it. And it took it away, and so he put these sponges in between the nerve and the artery. So it's kind of complex. So that went really well, and 6 weeks after, we went back to Chad, which was a little bit too early, but we went back to Chad. And then 2 years later, I went to get my teeth cleaned at the missionary dentist, and it started up again, and I'm like, this shouldn't be happening. It should have been taken care of. So I called my mom. She called the neurosurgeon. He said, get her back. She could have a tumor. So I'm like, okay. So I went back. I went and had another MRI. My mom took me, and the MRI was like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours long. So I fell asleep because I would. If you've ever had a head MRI, it's like right, the top is right there in your. Anyway, I fell asleep and my poor mom didn't know where I was. Where's my daughter? I haven't seen my daughter. Where is she? Nothing was wrong. Nothing was wrong. He goes, there is absolutely nothing wrong. It's still good. And so he put me on more medication. Well, the same thing. It couldn't take care of it. So he goes, I'm going to have to go in again. And the second time I was like, I don't want to go. I was like a little baby. But I did go. But what I found out, he did the surgery again, and he put even more Teflon all the entire part of the nerve. But what I found out is, have you ever heard of someone that's had amputation and they have the phantom pain? They still feel it even though it's not there. Well, apparently the nerves have a memory of pain. And if you don't crush that memory, it'll continue even though the problem's been taken care of. So it was the second surgery, so he put in more. Well, there were... I had a little problems with scar tissue because he went in the same place. But he crushed the nerve. So, and it's a nerve, it's the biggest nerve in the head that governs from here to here. So on this side of my face, so this explains some stuff for probably some of you, because I almost drooled yesterday, I think, when I was sitting with you. It's like after the dentist, when you have anesthesia, you can feel it, but you're kind of, you feel like your lip is really... That's how I feel. I felt that way for almost over 20 years, about 25 years. I used to drool all the time. I have to tell you a funny story. I was taking a class at Grace, a biblical counseling, and we were up in the second row, a friend of mine, and it was after my second surgery. It was before I went back to Chad. Well, I'm taking notes and everything, and she is too, and I look down, and there is like a big pool, puddle of spit. So during the whole thing, I'm like, I have been drooling and up in one of the front rows. And I'm sure people are like, is there something wrong with that woman? Anyway, I don't drool as much now, but I do every once in a while just because I can't tell. And I choke super easy because I can't tell where the food sometimes is. Anyway, so we had the second surgery. There were complications because it was the second surgery. And we were with a mission called Team that had a missionary doctor, had a doctor that was over all the missionaries. And he had given us clearance to go back, because we wanted to go back. As long as we could go back, we would go. 2 weeks before we were getting ready to leave, we were all ready, and he goes, you know, I can't go against my conscience. You cannot go back. You have 6 months to wrap up your ministry, and then you have to come. And if you get sick in the middle of it, we're taking you out. And he goes, I know it's a hard decision because you really love being there. And so we went back and finished. But that was the only, God had only purpose for us to be there for 13 years. That was all along his purpose. But it was hard. And I think I shared the last time I spoke on Psalm 62 that I had a real hard time because Rob loved what he was doing in Bible translation. And it was so hard to leave because he loved doing what he was doing. Anyway, so that's why we had to leave, and that's why I have really bad balance because they went in by my ear. So I'm older too, so that's part of it, but that's why you'll see me kind of... And if I drool, Rob usually goes, oh, you're drooling. Oh, okay. But anyway, so just to say that, but so then we had to leave and that, but just... I think it was yesterday, I got this email from our outreach department, and they said, urgent message, and I'm like, oh. And it was from a lady at our church that we probably all know. She's in Mindset for Missions, and she has a friend who had a similar thing. And she goes, this friend, I think, has what you have. Can you encourage her or tell her what you did? And so just all that to say, I mean, this is, it's something you don't see all the time. But the Lord allowed that for me to kind of give information that could kind of help her. But it's, and also to have a French doctor that correctly diagnosed it in Chad. I mean, that's huge. That's God who allowed that. So I just wanted to share that. And also, I know many of you suffer with many things. Some have cancer, some different things. And we don't always know why, but we know God. And we know He is faithful, and He's always with us, even during those hard times. And oftentimes, He uses it for a reason, to be able to reach out to someone else or for you to learn more. In my case, I needed to learn more and trust the Lord more of that. And I felt it was my fault that we left. I felt so bad. I'm like, it's my fault that we have to leave Chad. And we both loved it. Rob loved it. And in the end, no, it's not my fault. God had purposed that, and He used that as a means to move us, because otherwise I don't think we would have moved. It's kind of get out, go to France. So anyway, that is just to encourage you in those suffering times and in times of, and I do really well. I'm able to do a lot of things, so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for it. Sometimes funny things kind of happen. Rob knows how to do the Heimlich really well. He's had to do it a couple times, one time in a restaurant. And he's so calm. After I choked, you know, I don't want to eat at all. He's eating my meal. He's calm. He's a very calm man. So he's been with me throughout the whole thing, and he's had to go through some hard times taking care of me. But all that to say is that God is compassionate, and God will use our weaknesses. We are clay vessels. We are weak vessels for Him. And it's the power within us, Him, that shines through. It's not our, we're weak. So that's my last story of Chad for now. No, it is the last. And anyway, I want to really thank you guys just for your love and for the times of fellowship, even during lunch, snacks. That's always good, eating and snacks. So we have good time talking, and I appreciate that. And a lot of you have just been really taking good care of me, watching out for me. I am kind of wobbly at times. I'm kind of like the, what is that, wobble, but I don't fall down? That it's a type of little toy. Anyway, it wobbles, but I can't think of the name, but I'm kind of that way. And I want to, and she'll probably be embarrassed, I really want to thank Lalita, because she's known me since 2017. And she has been quietly watching out for me. She comes alongside, she'll give me water to make sure that I'm being hydrated. She'll be with me as I'm walking, and she just, all of you have helped me, but I just really wanted to, so thank you. Just to say, because she's kind of secretive. She's just right there, and she's helping, and she's quiet, and she's joyful, and I really just wanted to thank you. And I know sometimes English is hard, but you've learned a lot. So anyway, thank you all. Seriously, this has been a great, great time together, a good time of fellowship and fun. We're having fun. So I want to just finish our time. Where did I put it? With the, if you get your worksheets, here it is. And then we'll have a couple interactive stuff to do. And then we'll also have more games. With, I think, prizes. Yes. In fact, I'm positive. Now, I don't want any fighting. No fighting, okay? Because you guys were a little bit, those chocolate was kind of, ooh. No. So if you have your worksheets in front of you, we're doing holiness and workplace ethics in the home and in the exterior, like in an office or in a work, whatever you do for work. So what is our first blank? God is our right. He's our role model when it comes to work. And where did we see that?
Psalm 104.
Yeah, and also in Genesis. The right, both of them. And the key verse, I think you already said, is Psalm 104, what? Yeah. So we saw that from the very beginning that God worked. He created. He's a skilled craftsman. He only does good things. And all of creation praises him. I mean, we see that. So what was the Apostle Paul's vocation? What did he do for a job? Tent maker. So I just wanted you to show you, like in the different Bible characters, they had work too. So, number two, we work to shine a light on the Lord and his glory. Key verse. Yeah. And Matthew 5, yeah, both of them. So actually, what we do to work is not just, it helps us provide, perhaps. It really does. And God's allowed us to do that to provide. But it also is to shine, right? To give glory to God. Because people are watching. And your master, who are you working for? Right. So when you're doing your work, you're doing your work unto God. What was one of the words for work in, this is bonus, one of the words for work in the, yeah, the Hebrew avodah, there was two. And that has an aspect of worship and service and also work. Okay, work is a good gift, yeah. Good gift. What is the verse? Yep. So, and we looked at that. And how should we accept this gift from the Lord? We must take pleasure in the calling where God has put us. We all are different. We all work in different types of employment or in the home. In the home is also considered work. It's considered an act of worship. And oftentimes we look at the Proverbs 31 woman, who we should look at because she really did, she was a godly influence. But she is not a model to imitate in what she did literally. I don't go out and do this, and I'm not at the gates. Of course, there is no gates really for my husband to go to. But I mean, it's what she did was she had a godly influence. She took care of her kids. Her kids raised up and blessed her, her husband. And he was blessed at the gates. He was praised at the gates. So she took care of, what is the one thing she did not do? Rob brought this out. What one task in her home did she not do? Think of it. Just think through. Can you think? She what? She didn't do laundry because she had people working for her, and she was good to the workers in her home. She took care of them. She didn't do laundry, which was actually, that's quite cultural. That's a cultural thing. She didn't do laundry. So, I mean, she is not to be imitated literally to get up at 3 a.m. and go out and get your flaxseed and pound it and do whatever. That's not the purpose of it. But the purpose of it is to look at her spirit and her heart for her family. She was doing that for the glory of God. And she is a model in that sense. So if you take her literally, don't do laundry. Get someone else. So, okay, now the fun part. You can read it. One of the saddest statements, this is a quote from a fellow missionary that we know, and he's with our mission. And he said, one of the saddest statements I heard in college was during a job interview. The owner, a Christian himself, said, I usually don't hire Christians. That's sad. Why? They have been some of the worst workers over the years. That shouldn't be that way. They were the worst, some of the worst. He's a Christian man. Yeah, he wants to give to his brothers and sisters, but they were some of the worst workers. That's a horrible testimony. And he said, Jordan, he said, hopefully as I worked for him, I didn't encourage that sentiment. But what a sad thing to have that. I mean, honestly, if a Christian man especially says that they were some of the worst workers, and if it was an unbelieving man, knowing that you're a Christian, or unbelieving woman boss, or whatever, that is a poor testimony. That does not give glory to God. So I just thought that was one of the saddest things I've heard. Okay, let's look. Number one, remember who you are actually working for, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, means what? Whatever you do, work at it with part of your heart. Do it half-heartedly. No, with all of your heart, as working for the Lord. And this is not for human masters. You can fill in bosses. You can even fill in the house. You are working for Christ even when you're working in your home. You are working to be a godly influence and to help your family, to help your husband. You're a helpmeet to your husband, right? A suitable helpmeet. And also, so, I mean, sometimes the menial tasks that we do, sometimes, honestly, maybe I'm not as joyful or as I maybe do a little half-hearted. That's not doing it unto the Lord with all of my heart. So I encourage all of you, as I encourage myself, to think of that. Put your heart into your work. Don't do your work half-heartedly. We read that verse in Proverbs where it says, the lazy man is a brother to someone that destroys. You don't want things that are destroyed. If you have something and it's destroyed, that's not a good thing, right? So we don't want to be half-hearted or lazy. And we do want to do all things in joy because we're doing it for our master, for our Lord, our good shepherd. So number three, just as sometimes in an actual work situation, it can be in the home too. If you have certain tasks that need to be done on time, maybe even for your kids, do them on time. This is, be honest with your time. If you're working for someone, be honest with your time. Start on time. Don't abuse breaks. That sometimes happens. People, let's have another coffee. Okay. So, and don't leave early unless you've talked with your boss. So that is like in specific thing. But in the house, if your kids need a certain thing done, or if your husband needs your help on something, do it. Do it on time. Do it right away. Do your work and mind your own business. I put that in there because it's easy to kind of, okay, I want to kind of get into your business a bit, and that makes me feel better about my laziness or whatever. So do your work and mind your own business. Don't be in other people's faces for that, okay? We're not talking about discipleship, the presence of being with people. Be thankful for your work and don't grumble. What did the Israelites do all the time? Yeah. Well, we can do that too, and I do that. But don't grumble when you have to work. It's easy to do, but do your work, be thankful, and don't grumble. Take responsibility for your work and own up to your mistakes. And sometimes that's hard, whether it be in the home. Let's say you have children, and let's say you did something that was not right. You need to be able to say, you know what, Mommy did not act correctly. That was a sin, and I ask your forgiveness. And you can, whatever it is and however old they are, you can work with them on that. And that is a way of teaching and training. Same thing with your husband. Same thing. Same thing at work. Take responsibility for your work and own up to your mistakes. So both mistakes, I mean, in work, could be mistakes in work, like something you did wrong, but also just sin, like at home or even sin in the office or wherever you work. Oh, and this one is kind of a little bit of a personal pet peeve, so forgive me. If you are at a job, you're not being paid to evangelize people. I have heard of people that work, and they feel like it's their job to evangelize everyone. Evangelism's great, and there's an opportunity to do that, but not in your job. You can say, hey, let's get together. I would love to. We started talking a little bit about this. I would love to, if it's a woman, do that. Don't do that with a man. Get your husband or get a man from the church. But you can take that time then to do that. But don't take it on the clock, so to speak. You're not being paid to evangelize. I kind of see Christians kind of get into that. Well, it's spiritual, though. And it is true, but your testimony of how you work, how you present yourself, how you take responsibility, all this, it even speaks louder than the words. Let's say you don't do your work. All you're doing is going around and evangelize. Those words, people will go, he doesn't even work. Why is he doing this? So just be careful. There's ways you can go about meeting with people and talking with them if you work on the job. Don't gossip and don't engage in gossip, whether it be in the home or outside the home. So you don't want to start it and you don't want to engage in it. Don't seek praise and be happy for a coworker's success. So a success perhaps at work, maybe even in the home situation, maybe another mother has, you know, that you work with, let's say you're at the same school and something happens to her in a good way, be thankful for that. Okay, listen to and respect your boss. We should all be doing that with our Heavenly Father by listening and obeying and giving respect and love. Follow his orders unless it is an evident sin, right? So if your boss at work tells you to do something, do it unless it's an evident sin. And then you tell them, I can't do that, and you accept the consequences. You can tell them why, and you can maybe offer a solution. I don't do that, but I could perhaps do this. But anyway, then in a situation, follow and obey the Lord and be ready for the consequences. If it is a sin that boss is asking you to do, you take the consequences. When I was teaching English at the kindergarten in France, the lady who directed the school, I formed an association because even though I had a diploma in teaching English as a second language, it doesn't go over into France. They don't accept it. So I formed an association to be able to come in to the school to teach English. And whatever money they gave me was put into the materials that I used. But what she asked me, she goes, could you put more than you actually paid so that we can have a bigger budget? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And she knew I'm a Christian, and so I told her why, and I just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I stayed there. She didn't get rid of me, but I had to be, I had to say, I can't do that. That's a lie. And so she didn't, I'm surprised. I didn't know how she would respond, but I'm like, I don't care how she responds. I'm not going to do what she wanted. So anyway, in conclusion, I'm going to leave you with this verse to meditate on. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart. Basically, kind of giving respect. Fear and trembling is like you're ready to serve them in a way that's good, like godly. with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service. Who can we think of that did eye service? The Pharisees. They did everything to get the praise of men. So not as eye service or people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. So in a sense, to wrap it up, it's just you do your work as an act of service, worship for the Lord. And you do it for his glory so that they see your works and they give God the glory. And you are a light. You're shining the light on the Lord. So I don't know if there's any questions. This one wasn't quite as much interactive. I really didn't know how to do that. But it's just basically, you know, we are influencers wherever we go. Just make sure that we influence people in a godly way, whether at work, at home, at school. But ultimately, we want to glorify the Lord. So any questions? Yeah, that was clear? You guys are like, yeah, we want the games. No, I'm teasing. Anyway, it has been a joy to be with you guys. And if you have questions and you want to talk personally, I'm available. I'll be around. So thank you.